Blog Talk Radio.
Come take a magical journey to the dawn of a new era. Unveil the mysteries behind the curtain with empathic healer Dawn Thompson.
Hi, and welcome to the Gypsy Wagon Hour show. Just like last month, I have the truth sirens going on, so if you hear those, just know that it's the forces that be out there. So I have Iggy here with me. Hey, Iggy, how's it going?
Hey. How's it going, Dawn? How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good. I did a lot of self-care today. Seems like yesterday was very, very busy, and I still have a list of things to do, so I took the morning before the show to really take care of myself. So I feel amazing.
Good, good. That's awesome. Good to hear.
Thanks. Good Such to a hear. Great support. So, intense months since we last had, I was last on the show. And I wanted to talk about some of the reflections that I found and see, you know, also I love that, you know, getting the male perspective as well as to what themes have come up, because, you know, there are, like, we go through our personal life story every day, but if you truly look around and step in other people's shoes, I know that I find that I'm not alone in it, that other people are also going through these things and being triggered and shedding layers of grief and fear and seeking some of the same stuff like hope and joy. And we're really not alone in it.
I also do
hair, and as I get clients in, whether it be healing clients or hair clients, there was two themes I wanted to start out talking about and some of the channelings that I got on it, and then if anyone wants to call in and share their experience. And really, it has come down to, well, first of all, there's this collective loneliness thing going on. And no matter how many times I would plan things with people, or even if I was, like, hanging out with my daughter or my pet or a friend off and on, and this is going on from last month, there would be just this loneliness inside. And I'm not sure, you know, what... It would be alleviated for a moment, but then it would come back. And as more people shared their experience with me, I realized that this is just something that we had to do to go deeper and to be okay with it, you know, to just sit with it and be okay with it. Did you experience that at all, like this sense of, this weird sense of loneliness that you hadn't sensed before? Or...
I don't know why I'm laughing.
Are you never lonely?
Well, you know, I mean, it's not that I'm not lonely. I guess we're lonely in our own unique ways, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some people are just extremely lonely in the sense of, you know, no one being around or whatever. But you can kind of be lonely amongst people, too. You know, you can kind of be lonely in the crowd. You can be lonely, you know, with a spouse or with a girlfriend or boyfriend, you know? I mean, loneliness is kind of open for interpretation, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
For me.
It's true. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, no, exactly. That's exactly what I was experiencing. And I know that part of it is, you know, the site, I'm always talking about the cyclical nature of being in tune with our life phase, where we're at, with our careers, with our family, with our life, and also with the environment. And here in Columbus, Ohio, you know, we had this bout of like below frosty zero that just froze everything and everything was stagnant. Mm-hmm. But there is purpose to it. So some of the purposes that I found personally were how to shed some stuff that was no longer serving me, some beliefs, and to learn how to be kind and gentle with myself, even when everything is stagnant. Also around me, there seems to be a collective theme of people shedding like their old jobs and people and a lot of people in their lives. So career and people. And so the part of the loneliness was the space, this like space that has been created that we're wanting to fill. And so I think that there are some things that we can do in that space that are really, really helpful. You know, as a healer, I know that you are also a healer. You know, seeking, knowing that no matter if we're healers or not, or if we're teachers, or no matter what we are, seeking out different healing practices and healers. So I personally went, you know, into sometimes I'm working on a bunch of people, and then other times I need to get work done myself as layers come up. So I have some cool experiences this last month with working with a girl who called me. Her name's Emily, and I had worked on her, I think, last year, and her son, and some treatments, and she came to me and she said, I've got my Reiki certifications and I would like to work on you. Here's the cycles of time. I said, I'd love it. And she was nervous. I said, don't be nervous, girl. You'll be great. Like, who cares? I'm going to stay here and relax. And she said, I had a dream where I was working on you. And I'm like, well, I believe in dreams, the power of dreams. So let's do this. And we went to my space, and I have this incredible experience of a cobra spiraling up. And as the cobra was spiraling up, it was eating all these little mice, all these, which I interpreted as scattering fears. And that was super powerful. And I thought, oh, I'm going to feel great after that. But again, once things were cleared, there was that empty space. So I've been being really gentle with myself and journaling and dancing, taking lots of B vitamins, and then actively, you know, seeking, hanging out with other people, as well as a balance of spending time with myself. But yeah, so how have you been dealing with I'm curious how you have went about the below zero weather and the shedding of the layers, and if you had any tools to share, or any insights that came up there?
Well, it's funny, you know, when you said we were below zero and stuff, most of us are trying to work to take off layers and move forward. But I find myself putting on layers, you know, like metaphorically speaking, you know, when you put on a jacket, an extra sweatshirt, you know, an extra layer of protection, I guess that's the best way to go about it. That's kind of what I had to do last month, especially in the cold months. And especially when everybody's having cabin fever and everybody around you is freaking out. Maybe you're freaking out, you just don't know it, or maybe you're just there to observe. But I found that I had to do more personal ceremony with myself, and more searching and counseling with other people, and talking, and just trying to stay focused and centered, and try to spring out of, you know, that we're in that death period and that hibernating period. And now we're getting ready to spring into spring and do the things we do, what we do in the spring, get out in the sun, enjoy. So that's kind of what I did for myself personally. And it's been good, because I don't know if I didn't do that, I probably would have gotten sucked into the hole, you know, real deep, and, you know, not been able to pull myself out. But I found myself getting a little triggered and angry with situations and things more than I probably had been in a long time. But then sometimes you just have to listen and just have to be observant. I think somebody yesterday, somebody was talking about Mother Teresa. She goes to meditation to listen to God. And she says she just listened. And when somebody asked her, so what did God say? God listened. You know, so I found that really powerful statement. And it was kind of like, wow, that's really simple, but still it stuck with me, you know, till today.
Wow. That's pretty powerful. I like to share strategies for coping, because as big as my toolbox is for, you know, different tools of body awareness and, you know, my forgiveness tools and my, you know, health, all the health things that I have in my toolbox, there's always more to learn. And I heard that sometimes you have to put on layers and really go within. And, you know, something comes up a lot when I work on people, when I'm doing channeling. And it's the same, it's the only phrase that seems to repeat and come up, and that is, you need to find out who you really are and what you're here to do. And it's the most powerful guide that comes through. And I think that statement is very, you know, it seems very general, but it's a very powerful statement in that part of the cycles of sometimes it's time to go within, sometimes it's time to be angry. Anger helps us, motivate us to find out what's not working in our lives, what we need to remove or set a boundary with or shift. And we each have these different patterns in our life. We'll have, and it goes along with our theme. So, you know, you might think, I've worked on this. I've worked on attracting in a mate that acts like this, or I thought I worked on this with my partner, but yet here it is again. And instead of judging it or trying to fix it, what I found to be helpful is to witness it first and be curious, why does that keep coming up? And what do I need to learn from that? And then there's a theme of not trying to get too perfectionistic with it, because I know myself personally, because I'm very apt to go into being insightful, my process and other people's process, and solutions come up, or I have so, or seek so many solutions, whether it be getting outside help, going within, using crystals, using plant medicine, whatever it may be, that it is sometimes there's a time to act upon it, and sometimes there's a time, like you were saying, just to sit with it and do the personal ceremony and reflection, journaling to find out what's going on here. I know I started out saying that the theme of all of the triggers that I've had this month, which were really, really intense, and they had to do with a lot of archetype energy for females in particular, though I did do a channeling that I want to share about the divine masculine. Because if you go online and you look up divine masculine, I'll be darned if you can't find anything on it. I mean, it's like there's all these resources for women. They're like, the divine feminine is here, and, oh, this is, you know, the sacred dance, and la, la, la. And I thought, for my male clients, I get the majority of female, but I do work with male. I'm like, well, what do they need? And I did research online.
Thank you.
I checked in with a couple men, you know, a couple teaching men, and really there is not a lot of resources. And so I don't think that we're going back into an all, you know, feminine and there's a lot of focus on the feminine, and that's important. But what I've heard very clearly from my guides is that, you know, we've started out in life the divine feminine. We've been in a masculine energy. Now both sexes, no matter what you've incarnated in, we're working on balancing out something. So some really cool new stuff that has come up. Now, for the divine feminine, that's something that I've been working with for several years, and I don't know if I mentioned it last show, but the archetypes that came up with that were the Eve and Lilith, which I know I've mentioned before on another show. So here, this is for the feminine healing. What we've been, as I'm working with women, whether it be readings or healings, this comes up almost every single time. And that is, women have been taught to be sugar and spice and everything nice. I know my dad told me that, and my mom, you know, girls are sugar and spice and everything nice. And so there's the power in that. There is power in that, but it's become displaced. There is another side to femininity that is very powerful, and it's very savage, and it's fierce loving. It's a fierce type of love. So what I'll do is, a lot of clients, what I've done with myself, is gone in meditation and had women meet their Eve and their Lilith meet. For those that do not know, there's the storyline that Lilith was the first wife of Adam, and then Eve came along, and Lilith was cast out for her being more primal and more powerful. But let's take this back in today's world, where, you know, here we are as women wanting to, we don't want to shed off our compassionate side, our nurturing side, but we are being called to step into our power in the sense of empowering, not being a martyr. What are we here to do? What did we come here to do? And really it's about caring for ourselves first before others, which is not what, again, what this culture generally teaches. You take care of your family, you take care of the animals, and then you take care of yourself. So for the Divine Feminine, that's something that I've been teaching and practicing. It's a practice. It's not necessarily the easiest thing to counteract after a few thousands of years of doing the other way.
Yeah.
So, I was curious about the Divine Masculine, and so I asked my guides. I was like, "What's shifting for men right now in this time? Like, what is their collective theme?" And I got that for, you know, we've all been men in different lifetimes. We've all been women, but you know, right now we are working through different archetypes and the antagonist, the protagonist. And my guide said that no matter what, that we are the hero of our own story, which I loved. I loved that. And then there was a note for what are these different sides of men, the yin and the yang, the different sides. And the message was, for men, building a tribe, not one based on ego and pride, but a deep love for friends and family. There's a call for more holistic developing your intuition. One way to do this is through ceremony together, and then your guides will show you. Old paradigms of pride and status are breaking away to unify the man tribe. In the past, there wasn't enough. There wasn't enough food, enough land, enough sex. Now there is enough. Now there is enough, and there is a sharing to bring in, a remembrance of emotions and deep needs that have been neglected in the old world due to survival. The Divine Masculine can soften an ego and grow in integrity.
Nice.
So I'm curious, as the representative of the Divine Masculine, if anything in that moved you, or if you want to add or comment on any of that.
Sure. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's kind of been one of my journey callings, to help men with initiation and to know their place in life, and because it's different now. I'm not, you know me, you've known me for a while, that I'm not big on separation type situations. I like everybody mm-hmm. to be involved. I know everything has its place in its moment when it needs to be. But I'm all about everybody being a community and getting along. And then when women need to do women thing, they do women thing. When men have to do men thing, they do thing. But it doesn't make us into these two camps, you know. We're the Divine Feminine, and now the masculine is going to be oppressed. I mean, we're going to smash it, la, la, la. You know, we're all from the same source. And the same source is expressing itself in different ways. And so I kind of get triggered sometimes when I hear, you know, we're, women are just going to do women things that men could actually participate in, and or vice versa. And I think because men sometimes aren't perceived as being gentle and kind, that we have to be this protector or this whatever, you know. And that's an illusion. That's a huge illusion. Men actually are very sensitive and very kind, and they just have never been taught. We've never had the role models, you know, to actually teach us those things, because we've been taught an old system that has been around and around, and part of its genetic and part of its nature, we just react certain ways that women don't. But men don't really have a tribe, like you said. They really don't have this group of guys. And if they do get together, it's either sports affiliated or something club affiliated. But I'm talking about real genuine men sitting and talking. You know, how can we be people? How can we be humans versus being men? So, you know, How do we love our sisters? How do we love other men without people projecting onto us, or allowing our projections of people onto us to say, well, men shouldn't do that, la, 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 you should man up. See, the worst word I hate in our culture is when you, then women or men or anybody says, man up, you got to man up. I don't even know what, I really don't, and, you know, I really don't know what that means. Personally, as a man, I don't know what that means. I really don't know what that means because you have your own idea of what that means, and it doesn't mean the same thing to me. You know, so we find ourselves, I find that, you know, sometimes men get cast into little categories, and men usually are the ones who started that, you know, so it becomes this habit, you know, over and over. So, for me, I want to think that I'm gentle, I'm nice and compassionate, and I have things that I can share with the world, and I don't have to wear the Superman jersey all the time or be Hulk Hogan about it. You know, I mean, I try to do and I try to be, you know, find my feminine side too to express because I do have it inside me to the world and share that. So I'm glad that you brought that up because it's been something that's been on my mind for several years, how men can see the world differently than how they're seeing it now.
Yeah. I think I've noticed a great suffering in men around me because I can see that part of the gentleness and the emotional side and the craving for a tribe and the lack of a sacred talk or a lack of what would be the word, I think you might have mentioned it, of, I mean, the communication right now is sports or, you know, women or whatever it is, or phones or mechanics. Like, it's like a lack of the only thing that's coming to me is sacred talk. What would you call it? Like a new language, basically, like a new language to form between men, because man up, it's like, yeah, what does that mean?
I think it's degrading. You know, I like to cry. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I want a good cry, you know. You know, when I'm sad, I want to show my emotion. I don't want to be like, oh, well, I can't cry because, you know, if I cry, then I'll show weakness, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know.
And to be honest, like, I heard, don't cry, give me something to cry about. But I know that it's like 1,000 times worse from what I've heard from men. You know what's cool is there's a new wave of being, and my 9-year-old daughter is one of them, who's very androgynous. And so I'm curious if by nature we're not, or because we have been men so many lifetimes and women in different ones. I mean, I know I've been a male in some, and I remember male and female, but I've never given my daughter any roles or themes to play. I mean, I'm sure a touch, but I really tried to preserve her interest and not put my femininity, which unfortunately, or fortunately, who knows, it is the way it was meant to be. You know, I was taught that how I look is my worth and that I will be, you know, I mean, my father, he's like, oh, fine, you could be a model. That's what you could do. You don't have very many other talents. You're not very, but you are pretty. And then my vice principal, well, you're going to make a good wife for someone someday. Well, no wonder Lilith is come up in me and is ticked off. I remember thinking, I'm more than a wife. Mm-hmm. I am more than that. And so it really, like, I really wanted to not project that onto my daughter. I even made sure I told her father, like, don't say you're beautiful, you're pretty, you know, maybe every now and again, say you're powerful, or I see this work that you're doing, or I like when you played this imaginary game that you were creative in this way, like cultivating other parts, because I suffer greatly, greatly in the attachment to that. But anyway, so Shay, she will tell you, I'm half boy and half girl. Mm-hmm. And she'll go into the clothing store and she'll grab, some boy shirts and then maybe some girls tights to go with it. I mean, she's not identifying, and I see identifying with one sex more than the other. She's incorporating both interests, and I am seeing this with other friends' children. I'm like, this is cool, and I actually accredit some of it to, you know, this is just what they charted. They're coming in to heal this separation between gender roles. And also the powerful new language that I know I was taught in how to parent, instead of don't cry, I'll give you something to cry about. I see that you're really sad. Is there something that you want to talk about? I see that you're angry. You're so angry. What do you need to move this anger out of your body? Instead of, you know, if I was angry, it was like anger would come back at me. So,
well, like you said earlier, there are people who don't have the tools and don't know. They just don't have the capacity. Not that they can't learn, but, you know, they have, look what's in front of you. I mean, a good example of how you've learned to be the way you are is just look at the people around you. Look at your family. Look at your friends. You have similar behaviors. We all do. But we also choose not to have behavior. You know, we can say, okay, I'm not going to do that, because that's also a good mirror not to be something as well.
Oh, yeah, you learn what you don't want to be by what, boy, I can, yep. I learned that I was not going to parent like my parents, even though they did the best they could. Well, look at TV and media. Here's the thing I'm having an issue with. I have HBO Go, and I have, you know, Netflix, and it is, there again, I mean, that's our main, that's part of our main teacher, the media. You look in magazines, or, you know, you go, we're learning how to behave and how to act from media, right? Social media, TV, radio. And it is not, there is not a lot of teaching through there. I mean, it's pretty old paradigm, like consume more. Oh, women, you have to preserve yourself to age 25. Oh, men, you have to be rich and provide. Mm-hmm. And I personally have switched to Gaiam TV and documentaries, Mother Earth TV, because I find that, you know, they're, that's where I can get some teaching. But I wish that there were more. I hope that in the future that media can include, like, you know, more, a different language, a different representation of what it means to be powerful as a female in her 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, what it means to be, or how men can come together and, you know, talk about what lives in them, what, what they're passionate about, and for them to act, for us to actually know what we're passionate about, because the, you know, that thing that I told you, the quote that I told you that comes out in almost every session, find out who you really are and what you're here to do. And because we have what our, you know, because we have a lack of, but though it's coming in, new information about how to speak to our children, about how to find value in who we are, not what we have or how we look. I mean, that's coming in. If you seek it, you will find it. I can't help but wish it was more mainstream, you know.
Yeah. A teacher of mine once told me, he goes, well, if you really want to know what you're like, then he goes, he goes like this. Look at the books that you read, look at the people you associate with, the things you watch, and the things that you believe in. And that's kind of what you are, who you are, or how you see yourself sometimes. Doesn't mean you are that way, but that's a good indicator of where you're at. So pick wisely is what he was saying. Choose wisely, you know, what you're reading, what you're putting into your head, who you're associating with. Like you said, you're watching Gaiam TV instead of, you know, MTV, you know?
Yeah, because we're ingesting that into our psyche, right? Our psyche, well, body, our mind.
We drive by it every day, Don. We drive down the road and there's billboards on the thing, you know, saying this or that, drink this or that. This guy's wanted from the FBI, you know? Look, I'm even reciting it out of my mouth, you know? There's a restaurant down the street, you know?
It's implanted in your brain.
That's my point, you know? We have to be very aware that, you know, these things are subliminally ingested into our system without even us even knowing sometimes. I mean, I think everybody in this chat room can sing the McDonald's song, you know, or Sesame Street song.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but the biggest part of me wants to run away to, you know, I've said this many times to everyone. I'm going to run away to some kind of intentional community or an Earthship community. I'm going to, you know, part of me wants to skip this part and wants to go straight into people already living a new paradigm and practicing it together. But I've also been told by my guides that, that, you know, eventually I might reside there. I think I will. But for now, how to bring it into mainstream culture, because people are craving it. Whether you know, a lot of people are. There are a few people that are like, I don't want to know. I want to stay where I'm at. That's okay too. But I was told, you know, by my higher self, because I'm like, why can't I just move to Colorado and live on this community with, you know, this 100 people who are, you know, they're parenting their children the way that I want to parent and teaching them, and there's value and worth in our elders. Like, they don't put them away. They, you know, come seek them out for their wisdom and living, you know, a balance of old paradigm, a new paradigm. And, but yeah, I think, you know, we are exactly where we're supposed to be. We are here now, and it's uncomfortable, but I feel like you and other friends that I have, like, there is enough people seeking it here to buffer the uncomfortableness of being around, you know, people that aren't aware, you know, but might be craving that new information. I just finished last night my second series of classes, and I wanted to comment just momentarily on, you know, what you said about being triggered. I heard that when you said that it triggers you sometimes when women get together with just women and men get together with just men.
Yeah, hold that thought. We're going to go to break and we'll be right back. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. WithInsights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
You're listening to the Gypsy Wagon Hour with Don of the New Era, Don Thompson.
Woo! I want my gypsy wagon going through the redwood forest. Oh, that gypsy wagon. I love it. All right. So we're back. And, I was just mentioning how I wanted, practicing sacred talk, which is something that I wanted to kind of note on, the sacred talk and how practicing a new way of speaking between men and women might help with us, or women and women, men and men, find more of what's alive in us and more truthful talk instead of like, how are you? I'm fine. How are you? I'm fine. Look at the weather today. Do you ever get sick of talking like that, Iggy?
I don't even know if I talk like that anymore.
We go right into, yeah.
I go into the weather.
The weather moves me to dance. And
Yeah, it was funny. My dad posted on, I posted on Facebook, life is like a big conga line sometimes. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. And my dad's like, well, you can't always dance. I said, you dance every day. You dance. Some dance with a hammer, some dance with a drill, some dance with love. And so, you know, dancing is not, it was a metaphorical thing. He's still trying to learn the thing. You know, we all dance in different ways, you know, through our own calling, through our own music, through our own, you know, belief systems.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of it's the best way to move energy through your body, too. I mean, even if you're just, like, bouncing back and forth, that's actually one of I took my own deck that I made, my Oracle deck, and I like to pull like little themes in case my deck wants to say anything. And one of them was dance, and it came up in my class last night, dance, that it was something that body movement was something that I incorporated in each one. because I really wanted to, because we were just called to do it. It brings people together. It allows us to shift anxiety out and express ourselves. Like the easiest way for me to be artistic, because give me some paints. So it's going to look like a kindergartner did it, but play some drums or some music and I'm going to get free. Dun, 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 dun. When are we doing calls or?
Yeah, I think there's some callers here, and
callers?
Yeah, we're going to Peru too, so you do get to run away for a little bit.
I get to what?
You get to run away in June for a little bit.
Oh, I know. Oh, yes, for sure. I'm excited.
Let's take a call, see if they want to talk to you real quick here.
Cool.
Hello, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Why, good afternoon.
Hi, Dawn. Hi, Iggy. This is Siege.
Hey, Siege.
How's it going?
It's going fantastic. The sun is coming out down here, and I'm thinking about taking a hike.
Oh, where are you? Where's down here?
I'm down by Logan, Ohio.
Oh, that's amazing. So what you got going on? What's rising in you?
I wanted to tell you that I really enjoy your show. I like this conversation that you guys are having. And I just wanted to throw in my 2 cents worth here. You were talking about men and groups of men getting together and talking. And I wanted to relate a little story that happened to me quite a few years back, if that's all right.
Sure.
Okay. We had some land on the other side of Cambridge back in the 1980s. It was called Raven Wolf Nature Sanctuary. And, by the way, we're trying to resurrect that ghost ship out there. It's been abandoned for a few years, and we're trying to get that reopened again. But at the time, we had a festival around summer solstice called Goddess Gathering. And it was a group of like-minded pagan-type folk, and we'd get together and feast and have rituals and classes and so on and so forth, just like other festivals going on today. And one of the things that we had was a men's circle, and I had never been to a men's circle before. I never even knew what that was about. And it was very interesting. We got about 8 guys to actually come out and sit down, and we had a talking stick, so there was no talking out of bounds. Everybody got to have their say. And it was really interesting when we started the discussion. Nobody was looking at everyone. Everybody was sort of looking at the ground and looking at their crotches and whatever. And by the time we got done with the conversation and everything, we had 8 guys that were looking each other in the eye, and actually a lot of them came to tears because I think it was a time when we actually opened ourselves up to other men and were allowed to voice ourselves, our true selves. And that was a pivotal time for me because I was always taught to be a man, you know, be a man's man, you know. Mm-hmm. And it taught me, don't worry about being a man, just worry about being a good human being.
Mm-hmm.
And there we go. There we go.
And I just dropped a lot of my anger issues and so on and so forth that day because I saw that I could actually approach other men and get together and just talk and be guys, but you know, talk about our feelings. Talk about, hey, you know, I felt so shitty the other day that I wanted to get out and cry, and I did, and it was okay. And a lot of men won't own up to stuff like that, and I think it's time that, you know, we open the doors even more to men with men's groups and men's meetings and stuff like that just to talk about life in general, and it's like our feelings and so on and so forth.
I thank you so much for sharing that is going on and that has been happening, and your experience of it sounds like you achieved a deep connection that you had been craving in a space to, like we were talking about, not feel alone, to be able to share what you were feeling. And that eye contact is so important. It is something that I have noticed as well, that people tend to not look at each other in the eyes very long. And that, thank you for calling in and sharing. That was very beautiful.
Yeah. It helped me open my heart, I think.
Oh, I love that. That made my day. Well, if you can, start up a new one in your area. Like, there's a call to start up new ones, as well as, you know, it's really not about separating male and female. It's kind of like, Iggy, when you said you had to go put on your layers and go inside. It really is, this is just my opinion, but it is a balance of you know, there's a time to, you know, they used to have the red tent ceremonies. There's a time to gather with your women, and there is a shared community there. And I think for men too. And then there's definitely a time as well for us all to be together. And there's just certain things that, you know, that, that you can share with your sisters. And, and yeah, but it's not, to me, it's not about exclusion. It's about building, you know, a shared expression, and but definitely not exclusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to relay one more little story, and then I'll get off here because I know you have other callers and everything. I don't know if you remember the great actor Burt Lancaster.
Mm-hmm.
There was a little incident that happened one time where he was sort of invited by some of the other actors, the male actors there in Hollywood. And, of course, you know, in his young days, he was a swashbuckler on film, and he did a lot of his own stunts and stuff like that. He was sort of a man's man on the silver screen. And when he found out that he was invited to this dinner with all these male counterparts there in Hollywood, his comment was, "Dinner? Dinner with the boys? That would be lovely." And I always remembered that because it's like, lovely. Wow, men don't say things like lovely. But here's Burt Lancaster, and he was really enjoyed, you know, going and spending some time dinner with the boys, you know.
Awesome. That is awesome. The more, I feel like the more people, the more men possibly, I mean, I don't know how I got on this topic, but it must have been what it's supposed to be. As a woman, female host, but I believe, and I mean, I feel very passionate about everyone getting to be authentic and getting to have their tribe and to feel connection and to be able to speak about them, what lives in them, and you know,
that's the key word, authenticity.
That's the one I titled my class, the being authentic. I thought, how about good or the happy goddess? And my guides came in and said, life isn't always good and happy. Let's get real. Let's get real. Well, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, Iggy and Dawn. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Be blessed.
Cool.
Oh, that warms my heart.
That's good to hear.
Mm-hmm. Do we have any other callers on there? Or?
They just disconnected. I don't know why. No,
we're
good.
Like, okay.
They're like,
okay.
They probably got what they need to hear, so we'll move on. If someone comes in, I'll ring the doorbell.
Perfect. That sounds perfect. So I guess what I wanted to bring to the table next was more about bringing in a new language in the sacred talk. And I'm just a baby at this learning. So I've been taking, you know, communication classes, but I've also been to different festivals, different spiritual groups, different places where I noticed that I didn't have a language to speak to other people. I didn't even know what was living in me, let alone how to speak it. So, you know, the first thing that I've done with myself and helped other clients do is to find out, you know, what we're feeling and what our needs are. Did you ever see the feeling chart? Did you ever get a feeling chart from anyone? What are you feeling? Here's the smiley face or the frowny face or the...
No,
like, could you honestly say what
you're
feeling right now?
I get the what's
wrong
with
you.
Just joking. No, I can't say I have.
So that would be the foundation, really, of the first part of finding out what's going on with us so that we can talk real talk is, like, what are we feeling right now? Can we tap into our bodies? Can we take a moment just to sit and notice if there's anxiety in our body or if we're feeling really free and open? Like, a lot of people can't do that. You know what I mean? I mean, I've been practicing it, but if you were to say how you're feeling right now, what would be the word that you would use?
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that feeling would look like. I don't think there is a feeling for what I'm feeling right now, because I have, like, this cheesy smile on my face, so I don't know what I'm feeling. So I'm just like, I don't know, mischievous.
So what
sort
if there was a word for it? What if there, we got to bring a word for how you're feeling into this new language, our new paradigm language, or one that's not all about being a tough guy or, I'm a pretty feminine girl or whatever. You know what I mean? Just like I
sure,
feel.
Sure.
Yeah. So if I tapped in right now, I would notice that.
I feel like a color. Maybe.
Oh, you feel like a cool yellow?
I feel pink, I don't know. It is like one of my favorite colors, but I feel pink. I feel whatever the colors are associated with pink.
Nice.
Gentle.
What is pink to you? Gentle?
Gentle, having, understanding and just kind of being, not white and not necessarily red, kind of in the middle, so you're not too far one way or the other. It's kind of like a balance point for me. That's what pink is for me.
Ooh, I like that. You feel in colors.
Yeah. And I like music, too. Music also gives me feelings, too. Music is another thing.
Continuously. I like to have music on all the time to be able to. That's another thing, though, when I turn on the radio. Like, if I turn on the radio and it's like, I got two girls in the club. They don't know about each other. So I'm like, ew. And then they turn it. And then it's like, all I want to do is shake my butt. So shake it up. Shake it. And I'm like, okay, these songs, I get like the rhythm behind it. But the messages, please.
It's
can we
word,
get a station
yeah.
with some sacred language, a new language expansion? Yeah, I'm just playing around with the idea that it would be, basically knowing how we're feeling first so that we know, if we're feeling the so-called bad feelings and that means, that means that there's some needs of ours not being met. Maybe we need rest. Maybe we need to communicate to someone. Maybe, we're hungry, angry, lonely, tired, whatever. But, and if we're feeling the good feelings, like maybe the pink with the grin, that means all our needs are met, and then we can share that. But very rarely does it feel like all my needs are met. Jeez, I think I have a lot.
I feel like the Pink Panther. There you go. That's what I feel like. Pink Panther's like really chill. He's like, da-dum, da-dum.
I can totally see that.
Da-dum. But I'd probably be more like a Pink Panther or a panda. I mean, well, we lost Dawn. Hopefully she'll call back here. So I'll keep going. So we're talking about feelings and stuff. And Dawn was kind of just bringing up about the divine feminine. And then also she was talking about the divine masculine and those aspects of it. So we in our society, sometimes we create this illusions. I would call them illusions. I mean, I can't speak for Dawn, but that's kind of where I feel that they are. They're illusions that we create, these little barriers, because we've been kind of put in a situation through our ancestors. Our ancestors, and eventually we will become the ancestors, are the ones that kind of set the parameters and the things for us. So hopefully that we're learning something, especially the people who do this work in spirituality and metaphysical work and holistic work, that we're able to, we're able to bring everybody to a place of maybe seeing things from a different point of view versus, making them, telling everybody what they need to do, but just kind of inviting people to space. And I think Dawn's back. So you're back, Dawn?
Yeah, I'm back.
All right, cool.
So what were you talking about, guiding people through?
Well, I was talking, I was talking about what you had brought to the topic about divine masculine, divine feminine, and just kind of how, we put labels on it. We put labels on it, and sometimes people get stuck in those labels about it, and then they become like this faction of sorcerers. I didn't really say faction, but in my mind I was thinking that they create these little groups. But I figured, we're actually all in this together. So while we're all in this together, we're trying to create. Our ancestors have created this system that we're in. This system was created by people who were before us. So here's an opportunity for us, because one day we'll become the ancestors, to create something more beautiful, more organic, more real, in the sense of that we can change it. it doesn't have to always be the way it is right now. And the only way it changes is if we do something about it. That's my two cents.
I agree very much. The imagery that came to me regarding that topic, and I wrote it in my book, but I'll just generalize it, is that Spirit showed me that we're all piece of a puzzle, right, of a bigger picture.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So what's been happening to our big picture, our puzzle piece, is that, you know, if we think about how we're trying to copy someone else, say we're trying to copy Taylor Swift, or you're trying to copy, you know, something on the TV or the media, mm-hmm. basically we're all being taught to look like a basic set of certain puzzle pieces. And so that's why our puzzle, our big picture, this world is looking funky, because we need to each be our own unique piece. Like, we got to figure out, some of us are supposed to be all blue, you know, and have two sides to us. And we're going to be, and they're going to be the only person that is all blue and two sides. But, mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's going to be people that are the face. There are going to be people that are going to be part of the face, or part of the tree, or part of something. And there's no use in wanting to be part of the tree if you're part of this other part of the puzzle. So, you know, it's finding out who you really are and what you're here to do. It's like, we need to stop the game. Stop trying to be like something else or someone else, and find out what our own unique purpose and look is here, and then find our place in the puzzle, and then let that big picture come about, and then then there's a higher force, the great spirit, or something that moves. We all think it's something different, or maybe we're curious, or maybe we don't think there is it, but I believe there's another force that, if we let it, will guide our piece to the proper place, you know, pick it up and put it there. But how's it going to know? How's this great force going to know where to put us if we're camouflaging our piece of the puzzle? It's all about authenticity and breaking away, you know, breaking away and finding out what that is. I mean, mm-hmm. to be honest, we are all the same. We're all one big. I think we all are together. There's collective themes. But while we're incarnated, we are individuals too. You know, we've got that paradigm. I kind of see it as both myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to think we're all one and we're all inclusive, but there's always going to be elements of both. But I desperately crave what you were speaking about when it came back on, that all inclusiveness, we're all one feeling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I also believe that we also are unique in our own way, that, you know, that we don't have to necessarily be, we're all related, I get that, but we also have our uniqueness too, to be and express how we express in our own way. I can't express like you express, or you can't express like how I express, so that's our uniqueness, that we are, you know, very separate at the same time at some level, you know, within our togetherness. It's like those atoms that spin around, you know, there's the nucleus, and then you have the electrons and everything that's going on. They never really ever touch, but they're all part of something, part of that big system. You know, but when they do touch and they do connect, there's an explosion. There's this massive energy that comes from it. I would call that love. I would call that hope, peace, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely why I keep doing the groups, and hopefully, I mean, you gather people and create that. I mean, you have a great sense of expression. I love it, is unique, and I love how you do it, and I want to thank you for gathering people. I mean, you're definitely a teacher for me. Like, you're gathering of people and seeing how people get to feel a part of, and how they, you know, get to express their individuality. I mean, you hold a great space for that, and I, as well, have been, you know, doing that in smaller groups, practicing being a facilitator and a teacher and allowing people to be themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're there. That's why it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'm just looking out the window and seeing the sunshine, Don. I'm like, wow, it's just shining upon us.
Pouring down. I decided to go into my my yoga meditation healing room because it's so sunny in here, and I feel mm-hmm. like uplifted. I feel uplifted. I know we didn't get a ton of callers, but I could feel like the connection of people, and I hope that people start, I guess the ending of this, even though it started out with like empowerment, it feels like, and I remember learning this in one of my my empowerment groups, was you get empowered through community. You find out who you are and you get your self-esteem and a lot of things from the power of your community. And so that seems to be where we turned around to, huh?
Well, the chat room is buzzing. Like, everybody's having a great time in there. They're talking and commenting about the things that you've said or we've said, and they're having a good time. And then Gary is sharing with us, Siege, you know, his thoughts, you know, about what, how he's feeling about this topic that we're actually, you know, that's what I find about our shows. Sometimes we have a plan, but Spirit comes in and goes, well, you know what? That's good too, but I'm going to go take you over here real quick, okay?
I before I do anything, a session, a meditation, or now this, I just say, you know what, come on in. You know, you can channel through me. My ego thinks I know what I want to talk about, but yeah, obviously this was much more important now that it's come out. I mean, it makes me feel alive. It makes me feel excited that, you know, if a few people feel inspired to gather and practice, you know, speaking instead of our stories, our minds, because I noticed, like, you get together with someone, oh, this happened with so-and-so, and this is going on at work, and I've been learning, I've been practicing this new sacred talk of, that's still a baby, but it's coming around, of, like, so how did that, like, what did that affect in you? Did that make you feel alone, isolated? Did you feel more connected? Did you feel, you know, peace with that? Or, mm-hmm. and really, did you get to express, did you get to be heard? Was your need for privacy, protection met? Like, different words that aren't common in our language. People start gathering, people start talking like that, it's going to be pretty... That's one step, one little baby step for the world to change.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
And looking each other in the eyes.
Yeah, yeah. And the eyes are the windows to the soul. I mean, if you've ever heard that statement. You know, the eyes say a lot. Oh, were you? Okay, cool. See, we're on the same page. At some degree. Now we don't say anything.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I definitely, like, heard that as soon as he was, that went through my mind as soon as he said, we looked each other in the eyes. I was like, the windows of the soul.
Yeah, eyes are powerful. They say a lot about you, more than you probably even know, at a higher level. And it's at another level. You know, sometimes on the slower level, you can figure out what people are saying, but you can feel it energetically when you look at somebody in their eyes, what they're feeling about you or what's going on. And I'm an eye reader. I can read eyes. I mean, that's something like how I communicate with people a lot is through their eyes. It's a curse and it's also a gift, you know, but I don't mean curse in a bad way, but it's just something that sometimes you don't want to know things when you look at people in the eyes and the things that come out of, you know, I just don't know how it works. It just does. You know, I can't explain it.
I think my experience with it is like, I didn't notice that I stopped looking in people's eyes until I went to a rainbow gathering where people deeply are trying to connect with each other and everyone was acknowledging everyone as they walked past and looking into each other's eyes. And when I came back to Columbus and I was walking down the street, I would be like bending over, trying to look in people's eyes like, hello. And you know, for the rest of the day, I'm going to try that. Just walk past people. Sometimes I do that, and I do. I try to look in people's eyes, and there's a disconnect there. And when I do sometimes look in people's eyes, I see such a longing there. Do you ever notice that, the longing for that connection?
Sure. I agree with that. I think people have just they know. I think people on a higher level know that they say a lot with their eyes, so it's kind of threatening. Maybe at some level for some people, not everybody, but people kind of know without knowing. If you look at eyes, they can misinterpret, or they're interpreting, or they just don't want to know.
You do great at eye contact now that I think about it. I'm curious if you think that I do as well. Do I stay looking in the eyes, or am I an eye look away? Or I've never thought of that.
I mean, you have to be, you can't be like, just like or hey, what's up, you know, in their face about it. You just kind of have to read. It's like reading energy. It's like reading, you know, the cards. You don't always look at them. I mean, you don't when you're giving, you're holding them there. It's kind of like the eyes. You just look at what you look, and you look away, and you look for a response, or you don't look. You know, it just, I don't know. Maybe I look at people's eyes way too much. Maybe I just need to look down from time to time.
This my polarity therapy teacher. She will just keep looking and keep looking and keep looking. I know a couple people like that are like so like steady and firm, and they will just stare into your eyes. But it's hard to keep that gaze and to connect. I'm gonna challenge or do play work for anyone who wants it this week. Like, let's practice gazing as long as we can into each other's eyes. See what happens. I'm curious. Like, maybe if you look deep enough, there's like a type of connection that this words can't even express.
Remember the staring game? People would stare in each other's eyes. The first person that would play.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like that. Oh, any closing thoughts? Because we have like a minute left, I think.
Yep. I saw that. Closing thoughts. I would say the affirmation from what all we talked about is being honest with who we are and building trust with who we are, and just now that it's spring, seeking connection with people, like finding a way to connect with ourselves and other people. And just to say I'm grateful. Again, grateful for this opportunity to share and channel, and thanks for having patience with me while I practiced it. And I'm totally hoping that we can all go out and play in the sunshine today and start connecting. Woo-woo!
Absolutely. I'm going to join everybody in the sun.
Yeah, maybe I'll run into you. I love when I run into you. I've run into you at Whetstone and coffee shops. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, it happens. You know, just never know when people are... I always find my friends, let's put it that way. I'm not really looking, but it just seems to work out. You know, my friends seem to be where I'm going. Like energies attract.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. This is a great show. This is a good one.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thanks for your time. I appreciate you hanging out on your show. Let me hang out on your show and being part of it. So I will see everybody like you next week or next month with you.
All right. Enjoy your day, everybody. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's great. It starts with us.